You let the guy go scot-free. Oh,
that's right. And because of deception, because of deceitfulness in Gehazi's heart, and he wasn't honest with the man of God, he became leprous because of his greed. And you'll find that in 2 Kings 5:27. Well, in the sixth chapter, we see that an axe head floats. Now, Darren, this is impossible. This is against gravity. And yet the prophets of God were building an addition, and one of the borrowed axe heads fell into the water, and they were so concerned because it had been borrowed. So one of these axe heads.
Now, you know how an axe is put on an axe handle.
Yes.
You know, you put it on there, and then you drive pieces of metal in the end of that thing and try to expand the wood so it doesn't fly off. But if the wood gets all dried out, and here you are chopping wood, sometimes that axe head will come loose and fly off the end of the handle. And that's what happened here, and it landed in the stream.
Yes.
And the guy was upset because it was not only lost, but it had been borrowed. And then he said to the man of God, you know, what are we going to do? And the man of God says, well, he said to him, alas, my master, it was borrowed. Then the man of God said, where did it fall? Then he showed him the place. He cut off a stick, the prophet did, and threw it in there and made the iron float. And he said, take it up for yourself. So he put out his hand and took it. Now here is iron floating. And if you know how heavy an axe head is, it's not about to float.
No.
So here he had authority and dominion over the power of gravity.
Over gravity.
Over the law of gravity. And I believe that he just stopped that for that intersection of time. He says, well, okay, we can take care of that. We'll just make that thing like balsa wood. It's going to float to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you try to sink balsa wood, it's going to, on its own, it has a real buoyancy, and it's going to float. And that's what happened with it. Axe had another marvelous miracle, because the prophet, I believe, reached into the spirit world and took authority that he didn't normally use, and he applied it here to this situation, and the axe head came to the surface.
That's right. Well, on in chapter 6, we see miracle number 15 and miracle number 16. Miracle number 15 is when Elisha's servants saw the mighty army of God, and we're going into that right now. Number 16 is when the Aramean's eyes were blinded to where Elisha was. And Darren, the king of Aram, was warring against Israel, and he counseled with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Arameans are coming down here. And the king of Aram was really disgusted, because every time he planned an attack, Israel was not where he thought that they would be, because Elisha was warning Israel. And so one of his servants said, my lord, Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom.
Now, what he was saying is intelligence information is getting through to the enemy.
That's right.
And they are avoiding our attacks.
So
why wouldn't that make you mad?
Absolutely. So he sent horses and chariots and a great army to Dothan, where Elisha was. And the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, and behold, an army with horses and chariots were circling the city. Now, this is a great Aramean army. And he said, alas, my master, what shall we do? Oh, and I love this. Elisha says, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those are with him. And Elisha prayed. Read that prayer, Darren, in verse 17.
Well, it says, Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha.
Ah.
Now, folks, I'm going to tell you this. Stop looking in the natural. Ask God to open your eyes to see it like he sees it.
Yes, and I believe these armies were with Elisha all the time, continually.
Yes, absolutely.
Continually the angels were around him. Well, when they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people with blindness, I pray. Now, this is one of Elisha's prayers. Strike them with blindness, Lord. And the Lord did, according to Elisha's words. According to the word of Elisha. Darren, our words are so important. And this is miracle number 16 here in the very first part of 2 Kings.
But you know something? The prophet knew God would back him up.
Oh, he did. And that's so exciting.
Yeah, I believe God put an idea in the prophet's mind, and the prophet was smart enough to go with it and said, okay, we'll just blind these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And we can do that with the power of God that's available for us to use. And they used it, and guess what? They were blinded.
Yes. Haven't you experienced in your own lifetimes when you felt that the eyes of, like, officials were blinded from seeing what you had, or from seeing you? Or I have experienced those times.
Well, I have a friend that I prayed for that had a terrible case of peritonitis all through his body cavity. I called him, talked to him in the hospital, and his name is Harley from Kansas, and I said, Harley, you got to take charge of your own health care. He got up the next day, and he had a shunt, I think, coming out his side, and the Lord blinded the doctor's eyes, and they let this guy out of the hospital.
Yes, he was oozing.
It was coming out of his side.
That's right.
And he went home with the power of God and his wonderful wife that's deep in the spirit and praying all the time, and God healed him at home, finished out the healing at home.
Oh.
But you know, God can bring the blindness when it's needed. He can cause seeing eyes to not see. And you remember the story about Saul?
Yes.
Okay, God caused blindness to come on him for 2 or 3 days to get his attention.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden he was healed.
That's right.
Of that affliction.
Yes. By a mighty man of God who touched his eyes. We need to surround ourselves, oh, precious friends, we need to surround ourselves with mighty men and women of God. We need to discontinue going into defilement and going into places where people defile us. You need to be pure in heart and seek out those prophets of God that are going to bless you. And Darren, these stories, they just pump me up to think that so many times, and I encourage you to go into the 7th and 8th chapters of 2 Kings. We stop right here because of time, but we go into the lepers who found that army camp desolate.
Right, exactly.
And
now, folks, I want to tell you that Samaria, things were so bad that they turned to cannibalism. They turned to eating their children.
Yes.
Now, could it get any worse than that?
No, it couldn't.
I mean, it's really bad. But you know, the prophet spoke out, and what he said came to pass. You know, they were going to be able to buy and sell food for almost nothing. And they were saying, you know, how could this possibly be? You know, if the windows of heaven opened up, this couldn't happen.
Because everything was so expensive.
Everything
yes.
was so expensive. But
yes.
I want to tell you, folks, God can turn the situation around. And, I haven't known anybody that was down so bad that, you know, you had to talk to your neighbor and said, well, let's boil your kid and eat it today, and tomorrow we'll boil mine. But that's where they were. That actually happened.
Yes.
And you know, God turned that around in one day.
Darren, I believe that he is raising up prophets today, that even though the economic situation may seem impossible for you, don't ever listen to the lies of the enemy that you are in a situation where you cannot any longer get food or clothing or take care of yourself, that God can't take care of you. Don't believe the lies of the enemy. Our Lord God can take care of us always. Always take care of us.
Yeah, and Barbara, I'd like to say this. You cannot believe the politicians.
Mm.
If it doesn't add up with the Word of God, discard it. You can't believe the newspaper. You can't believe the television. You can't believe the Internet. You've got to have a pipeline, folks, direct to the heart of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that when He speaks, you'll know that you can hold steady. Tomorrow's going to be different than today. And no matter how bad today is, you can pray to the Lord, say, can you get me out of this mess? Give me an idea. Give me a revelation. Give me a mystery. Give me something to go on here, Lord. I depend only on you. I'm not going to look to everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to go to all the world's counselors. I'm going to depend on you to speak into my circumstances because I need help and I'm totally out of control.
That's
I'm
right.
totally out of resources. And Lord, I know that you care. Now, when you pray like that, God's going to change things. We've got 1 minute left, Barbara. Would you like to pray?
Yes, thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you have shown us through your word that you are the God of possibilities. With you, there is no impossibility. And Lord, help us not to limit you. Help us not to say, well, God can't do this. God can't do this. My situation is just too hard or too impossible for God to reach. Lord, let them see that in Elijah and Elisha's case, with your anointing, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you can reach into every situation today and make everything absolutely wonderful for those who believe, for those who trust, for those who believe in your anointing. Thank you, Lord.
Now, folks, I want to tell you, ask God to open up your eyes so you can see in the Spirit. There is an anointing of increase available for you. There's anointing of healing. Anointing of miracles. Hello. There's an anointing where God can come in and just, I mean, set aside your circumstance. He can get involved with you. I'm challenging you. Press into the spirit world.
Mm, yes.
God has awesome miracles for you. Don't limit God and don't limit yourself. God bless you.